recording this just in case it's useful for anybody. When I first actually looked to help people engage in the experiences that I'd had, I was in a privileged position because I had a number of weeks just to throw myself into developing the relationships. God took me into the realms of heaven in several trances and in visions of heaven and being there. But what that did is it stimulated me so that those wouldn't be just one-off experiences, but they would become a lifestyle. So it stimulated me to make sure that I had everything flowing, that I understood who I was in my gateways, that I understood how spirit, soul, and body functioned together and began to flow together. And so I put together, using Hebrews 5:14, training our senses through practice to discern, I put together a series of exercises that started in the basics to get people flowing in a spontaneous flow of the thoughts of God, the images of God, whichever way it will function. Mostly it was the thoughts of God to start with, because that's really the thing you need to get hold of. And so I put together those exercises, and how I described it was exactly like scaffolding. That's how I described it. You use scaffolding, you put scaffolding up. Once you have some foundations of the building set, you then start to build higher. And you need scaffolding to take you to finish to complete the house, to put the roof on. Whether it's a single-story building or a double-story building, you need scaffolding to be able to reach and complete the building. And as soon as the scaffolding, you finish the building, the scaffolding is just removed. And you no longer need it. So you no longer need the exercises. You just live in the house. And you live in the house as a lifestyle of intimacy with God, flowing from the inside out, connected to heaven, from the position of intimacy, where we get our own personal relationship with God, which feeds into our identity, a revelation of who we are as His children, Him as Father, Jesus as brother, the Holy Spirit as just wonderful friend and counselor and guide and director and those sort of things. Those relationships can be in the inside, in our own heart, and developing the garden of our heart and tending it and cultivating it. Now, Adam and Eve had a garden that they were given the responsibility to rule over. That garden was connected to heaven, so they could walk with God in His garden. He could walk with them in their garden. And there was this complete interaction between heaven and earth as it was supposed to be. They were then supposed to take that relationship and the responsibility of ruling the garden, tending it, cultivating it, and then subduing the rest of the planet from that place of engagement in heaven, in relationship with God, establishing heaven on earth. That was God's intention and their initial purpose. Now, they never got beyond the walking with God in their garden, and then seeing, hey, I'm responsible here to establish this on the rest of the planet. They effectively succumb to, hey, you can do it your own way, humanistically, without God. And we can't do it without God at all. And so the relationship development, although it doesn't seem as what's the word? I don't know. Jazzy or fancy as being in heaven on mountains and going to courts and doing amazing things out into the galaxy, it's absolutely vitally key foundationally, because if you don't develop the garden of your heart and you don't tend it and cultivate it and grow it, what have you got to bring into the rest of the planet? Nothing. So it's absolutely vital, you know, that we develop the relationship with God both within our heart and in the realms of heaven that are connected to intimacy, which is really the garden of God and Eden and the tree of life and the throne of grace and those places which are the river of life, which really is all about the source, our source of everything flowing out of heaven, flowing into us daily as we open up the flow. And I think this is where, again, a lot of people, oh yeah, well, I've opened my first love gate now, great, that's it, I don't need to do it anymore. For me, it's a daily thing, because Jesus daily fellowshipped with God himself, with the Father. Daily he needed to see what the Father was doing. It was relationship. I mean, it's like saying, oh, well, I married you on my marriage on our wedding day, and oh, well, I don't need to see you anymore because we just did that bit and now it's over. You know, it's got to be an ongoing relationship, and therefore every day, you know, Jesus said daily, do these things. You know, fresh mercies are available every morning. You know, morning by morning, he awakens me with the ear of a disciple. So you just can't get away from the fact that it has to be something that we want to live daily, not out of duty or obligation or fear or any of those negative things that have been there religiously and what the enemy tries to get us into, but just out of a pure desire. You know, as David said, you know, my soul pants after you. Like the deer pants for water, my soul pants after you. And that's not his spirit. That was his soul, because he was so intimate in worship that his spirit and soul were one, because he was a man after God's own heart. Because he developed something out of the future of intimacy. Whereas, you know, because he was a man out of time, and therefore when he did the David's tabernacle and the tabernacle of David, it was completely open worship around the presence of God, and no one got fried. You know, and that went on for 30-odd years. You know, and daily intimacy, where people danced and fellowshipped and sang and engaged with the presence of God. It does take that desire, and you know, that desire for me meant I was willing to put in whatever discipline was necessary, whatever scaffolding I needed to put up, whatever exercises I needed to develop, so that I built my house and I became a house, a habitation of God and a gateway of heaven. And that was always God's intention. That was the issue with Jacob. Jacob saw the things, hey, there's a ladder, you can go into heaven, and God is waiting for you at the door. But the whole purpose was, this is Bethel. This is, you are the house of God. And you are the gate of heaven to bring that heavenly manifestations on earth. And so developing our house and building it and growing it and doing what we need to it creates the lifestyle. You know, now, you know, as I occasionally do an inventory of my gates, in which I go through them and make sure that they're functioning, and there's nothing hindering them, or the enemy's not put anything in the way of them or anything else. But they're open, other than the first love gate, which I open every day and invite the presence of God into my spirit and the flow of the river of life to flow into my heart. Other than that, you know, my gateways are open and I just use them. But it took me probably 6-9 months of daily diligent practice of learning who I am and learning to know my identity, to know who I'm called to be and to function, my redemptive gift, who I am, so that the particular gateways that I use more so because I understand that's how I function, it took that time to develop it. And basically, I would spend 2 hours every day. So I would spend an hour usually developing the gateways of my spirit, soul, body. I would do an hour developing, presenting myself as a living sacrifice, going into the realms of heaven every day. And I did very little else other than develop those pathways so that they became life. And so they were my scaffolding. Those exercises, you know, the prayers that I used, the scriptures I used were all just the scaffolding. Now I need no scaffolding. So now I can go into the garden of my heart. When I open the first love gate every morning, I yoke myself to Jesus. I enter into rest. And from that place of rest, I allow my spirit to be joined to his spirit to dictate where I'm going. And I just sense, where do I need to go? Yeah, I'm going to go into the garden and I'm just going to chill out with God. We're just going to chat and we're going to talk and I'm going to share some stuff with him and we're just going to fellowship. That might be one of the places I go. I may go into the garden of God and go back into his garden. I may go into the river of life. I just generally allow my spirit to direct that. And there'll be seasons where I spend more time doing that, because I actually need grace and mercy, because there are stuff I need to do and there are things I need wisdom and revelation about to do things more effectively. So I'll spend time hanging out there with God. There'll be other seasons, like right now, where I spend most of my time around the ark and going onto my mountains or going to the heights and engaging with wisdom, because I'm learning the protocols that I can pass on to others. And part of my call is to learn the protocols and understand them and engage with them so that I can help other people to engage. That's part of what I'm called to do, which means I might not necessarily do an awful lot there. I just learn about it and I help other people to do it. Hence, trying to raise up people here to be on the mountains that we've got rather than me spending a load of time on them myself. Because that's much better to release other people, you know. So I understand how to do things, and right now, and this is a season for probably the next few years of my life, will be much more about learning and in knowing how to do something effectively than necessarily spending all my time doing it. You know, because God will take me onto something else and teach me about something else, then I can help other people function in that, you know. And so, you know, I would be, you know, a jack of all trades and a master of none at the minute, because I'm just learning about everything. So I'm learning, you know, and hence, you know, when I'm pulling together these pathways, you know, I've got loads and loads of places mapped out where I've been, you know, and I need to take other people there to them. You know, I've engaged with the seven spirits of God in the sort of the training hall, and you know, I've engaged with all of them. I've had encounters with them all, but I'm not spending massive amount of time there now. I learned enough to enable me to do what I'm supposed to do. Some people may need to learn a lot more because they are on a mountain and they're ruling. You know. Fortunately, I have, you know, I'm with, you know, a couple of other people in our bench of three here are also doing similar things, much more about what we're doing here on the ground, that sort of releases me and frees me up. They understand the nature that we're an apostolic resource, so you know, I'm less actively doing those things, but then we've got a whole council of 12 that we're raising up to also function that way. So passing it on is a key, and but not everyone's called to do that. You know, some people are called to do different things. You know, on Sunday morning, I had my first encounter with the Galactic Council, and it was just like, I'm in worship, I'm just enjoying myself, and all of a sudden I'm like pulled up in this place, which was an amazing experience in place. And I know the Galactic Council sit in February through so many days, and I'm sort of like, whoa, this is really cool, you know. And you know, it was an amazing, you know, the colors and the light and the gold and the different things that I saw there, and it was just a different place and an atmosphere, you know. And now, you know, I know now, okay, now I can add that to my map, you know. And actually, am I called to sit at that at the moment? Well, I certainly started to see what they were doing, and I don't know, part of it is I need to understand it, even if I'm not going to be there at this point in time, because I need to be able to get other people who may be called to go there. So some of it is a lot of experiences that are for me, but I really did spend a lot of time developing the pathways and using the scaffolding and the exercises, you know, until they're just so absolutely me now that I can just by thought go through the veils into the different realms of heaven, or go to the Ark, or go to the Heights, or go to the different courts if I need to. Because it's my pathway and I've developed it. Now I think I can open the door for people to engage some of these places, but unless they're willing to practice going back there, discerning what it is for them, how it functions for them, you know. And I think the living sacrifice thing is an absolute key. You know, if we don't present ourselves, then how are we ever going to know what it is to serve? Because Romans 12, 1 and 2 is all about our worship, our service, same word. So if I'm presenting myself to God today, okay, I'm presenting myself. What am I supposed to do in serving you today? All I'm doing is presenting myself for you to direct my service. So I'm not going to direct that myself. I'm waiting for you to direct it. I'm going to go around the Ark so that I can engage that, I can resonate with it. That whole process allows me then to go where I need to go and do what I need to do. But, you know, I spent time discerning what it was to go through the veil of the way, through the cross, to recognize that I am crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I living on my own, but I and Christ living together. You know, I needed to understand covenant exchange. I needed to understand how I, you know, give the old and get the new. You know, I needed to understand how you look into the laver, the mirror that was there, which was the washing of the water of the word, so I can look and see myself. Is my reflection what God says about me, or is it my reflection a function of my own understanding? And until I learn to look there and look into the word and look into the living word and see what's reflected, do I understand then who I am and where I am on my journey? You know, some of it presenting myself on the altar of incense so that I would become a fragrant offering to God. I needed to learn how to do it and what it meant and the scriptures that went with it. And so that then when I eventually could go through into the veil of the life, into the Ark, then again, knowing, well, what does it mean to only do the will of God? What does it mean to only do what I see the Father doing? What does it mean to for him to be my head, because my head is removed symbolically in terms of government of my life? So he governs my life. But we do it together because we're in relationship. And so it's like there is this intimacy in relationship that has developed and grown because I had a desire that I was willing to pursue. You know, there's a friend of mine that uses this phrase. He says, pursuit is the evidence of desire. And many people say they have a desire for intimacy with God, but do nothing to pursue it. And if you don't pursue something, then you haven't really got the desire in the first place. So when we do an inventory of our life, what are we pursuing? What are we spending time with? What are we actually focused on? Because that will give us a clue to what the desires of our heart really are. And if it's like, well, I'm not, oh, I'm spending most of my time doing this. Okay, well then let's repent of that and renounce doing that, and let's ask for a deeper intimacy from God and ask him to come and change the desires of our heart. And when you get around the ark, or when you get into the garden of your heart, a lot of it is about him unveiling your destiny that will begin to draw your heart towards it. But it comes out of the intimacy of spending time with him, drawing closer to him. You know, it says, I think in James somewhere, it's like, you know, if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. So that's why I need to open up the first love gate first. He'll be knocking, waiting, but it's up to me to open up and draw near and say, yeah, I want to come near to you. And so, you know, this scaffolding and tutoring process, you can't shortcut it. You know, it may be quicker for you than it was for me, because I can pass on all the scriptures and all the process. So learning the process will be, hey, I don't need to learn this process and reinvent it. It's there, but I still need to actually make it my process and learn to discern how I function in it. So a lot of it is, you know, you can't just copy it, but you can learn to embrace the process and the principles so that it becomes yours. And then you find out how that functions for you, and you discern, okay, yeah, this is an area where this is how I work. When I look into the laver and it is a mirror, what do I see? And it, for me, you know, scriptures would come to me and different things that would relate to who I am, and those scriptures would begin to transform my life. For other people, they may actually see, hey, I look at myself and I see something pictorially. But unless we go there and look into it, we'll never develop how it works for us. And so, you know, you can use scaffolding and exercises, but it's your house. And it should be architect. The architect is God, and he's given you the pattern within your scroll of destiny to build your house. You just need some help in the process of building it, and those are what the exercises are, you know. And you have to exercise. You know, this is the thing with exercise. No matter what you do, there are very, very, very few shortcuts. You know, I have tried them in my own life. You know, I tried the shortcuts, physically tried the shortcuts. Yeah, I wanted a big, strong body. So, you know, I tried some of the shortcuts of, you know, using certain exercise techniques, and they never worked. You know, they never really worked, because they were offered as a shortcut. And if you want big muscles, you have to pump big weights. It just, there's no other way. You know, yes, you can do it intensively, rather, you know, lots of different ways of doing it, but you have to do it. You know, and a friend of mine, you know, he wanted a great six pack, and so he bought one of these electrical stimulating things that he put little pads on, and while he was watching the TV, this little thing would give him shocks to stimulate his muscles. Well, it didn't work. You know, he never got a six pack because he wasn't willing to do 200 sit-ups every day, or ab crunches, or all the things that it takes to develop those things. And when you talk to anyone who's got a great six pack, who may be born with some of the things, but some of them have just developed it, they spent a long time doing it. And I'm afraid when it comes to these exercises, you just have to spend time doing them. You know, I would spend, you know, an hour praying in tongues every day just to build up my spirit to get a flow of thoughts. You know, I know that would horrify some people. Oh, what, an hour? How could you pray in tongues in an hour? Well, when I first started, it was like, what? How can I do that? But, you know, when I fasted and when I set myself before God to experience him, first thing he said to me, pray in tongues for an hour every day. Start your day with an hour of praying in tongues. You know, and it took me a while. Well, I did it, no problem, but I wasn't getting the benefit out of it until it was suddenly, and don't do it with an empty head. It with a focus by fixing your eyes on Jesus and begin to think about the things that you are wanting to meditate on and engage with. And so there, as soon as I got hold of that, those tongues times became creative experiences where my thinking and my fixed thoughts, if you like, and meditation began to open up doorways into the experiences. You know, but it took me 18 days of praying in tongues every day for an hour, and then engaging the Word of God for 3 or 4 hours in meditation to unveil and open up those realms. Now, you know, that I'm not saying it's like that for everybody, but it's going to take a degree of time. And even after I'd had, you know, 80 odd heavenly visions and encounters and first person I still spent the next 6 months developing those pathways until they were absolutely mine. You know, and yeah, I had to develop the how to do it. You know, I had some basic principles for me and Clayton and some of the gateway stuff there, but I had to make it mine. You know, I developed the, you know, living sacrifice stuff on my own because I didn't have any revelation of that from anyone else. It was just I engaged it and learned how to do it and learned how to engage heaven through it, you know. But yeah, I think there's just it takes time. So yeah.
What about the four faces of God? Step into that and practice that.
Yeah, I did. Because I did exactly the same thing. Because when I started to go around the ark, I started to engage the resonating presence of God by looking into the manifest presence of God. I began to see that, you know, what it represented for me was first, I want the will of God. So I went through the process of Romans 12, and the whole purpose of that wasn't relationship as such. It was, where do I serve you today? All my relationship was built up in the pathways in my own heart and in the gardens and in heaven in that way, in the pools and the rivers and the things. So the living sacrifice developed, how do you prepare me, because I surrender to Jesus as a living sacrifice. He's my high priest. He prepares me. I just have to be open for the preparation and transformation that comes as you deal with dividing spirit and soul, thoughts and intentions of the heart, bone and marrow. That, you know, Hebrews 4:12. Three levels of transformation as you go into deeper into the realms of heaven. So the whole purpose of engaging there for me was, okay, what is my service today? How do I serve you? How do I fulfill my purpose and destiny today? What is it that you've got for me to do? How do I see what you're doing? So to do that, the last stage of the preparing the sacrifice for me and how it worked for me was the head gets chopped off. So I have no will of my own. I have no government of my own. I'm willingly sacrificing my head, symbolic of the rulership of my own life, to engage in him being my head and therefore directing me in service. And the legs being chopped off, symbolically representing my walk. So I'm only going to walk and do the things the Father wants me to do, so I'm going to follow him. That leads me into the Holy of Holies, in through the veil of the life of life, to engage around the ark. And the first thing in the ark was the manna, and so the manna represented the will of God. So I wanted to eat that manna symbolically, and I would go there and look to eat it to resonate with God's will, to have clear indication, what is it that God wanted me to do today? And how did he want me to rule? How did he want me to engage in different things or different people or situations? How did he want me to do that? Well, I looked there to come into harmony or resonate with that frequency of his will. And then, you know, the next thing was the tablets of the heart, and I looked to, okay, write on the tablets of my heart. Reveal things to me of who I am in terms of my destiny on my heart so that I will be drawn towards it today. So I will be guided towards that because my desires will lead me towards that which will be an outworking of my destiny. And so I built that up, and then I would take Aaron's rod and I would go and rule. So I would go to my mountain and I would begin to outwork what I'd seen in heaven before I then did it on earth. So that was my sort of daily pattern. But as I began to look more intently into the presence of God, I began to see this whole thing of the four faces of God, and looking at the alignment with the four faces of God. What did it mean to be in him? So I'm coming so close that I can be in him. And so it's not just, well, I'm going to serve him. I'm in him, therefore I'm going to start doing things from his perspective. I'm going to see things from his perspective. I'm going to speak out of his perspective. And so the four faces of God began to, when I looked more intently, I could see not just light and the intensity of the colors of light and the frequency that I was previously engaging with. I began to see a revolving four faces of God in as I was looking intently, and I began to engage there with the sound of the names of God, you know, the Yod and the He and the Vav and the He and the rhythm of life, because that rhythm of breathing in and breathing out, you know, God breathed the breath of life into Adam, and the first thing he did was to breathe it out into the realm of the atmosphere of the earth. So we need to go into heaven and come out of heaven, bringing what we have in heaven and release it here, then going back in, just like, you know, the heart receives oxygen from the lungs and pumps it around the body and then goes back to the lungs. And it's all sort of basically same sort of type of analogy. I began to more intensively look and see where was I drawn. And I began to be drawn to the eagle. I began to be drawn to the lion much more. And sometimes engaging all of them so that I could begin to see from out of God, because we're in him. And therefore see out of the faces of God and begin to look at earthly things from the perspective of God's view. You know, and sometimes you do that as the eagle, so you're way above everything and you're looking down and soaring in the realms of heaven, looking down. Sometimes from the lion's view, where you begin to roar things. You know, and when lions roar, they don't roar up into the air, they roar into the ground. Because the ground carries the vibration and it frightens things a distance off that they know there's a lion's territory that they're coming into. So they roar into. And so, you know, I found that as I looked into heaven as a man and looked into the faces of God from the perspective of a man, I looking into heaven, then I could then bring that roar of heaven out from the perspective of the lion or out as from the perspective of the eagle in the kingly and the apostolic function. And then I would need to look back into heaven from the aspect of the ox, which is a prophetic function, to again see things from the perspective of God, to release them from that perspective. And so that developed. The more I drew near, then the experiences of that developed and the revelation of that developed, so that I could carry that rhythm in my own life. And so that whatever goes on into in a sort of micro scale in heaven gets outworked in every place. So I began to see myself going in and coming out and going in and coming out on a regular basis, bringing that out, just as I saw myself looking into the ark and looking into the face of God and being there. So again, it was something that the more I drew near, the easier it became, and that then began to function and open and practice, really. Again, you know, that only developed after I practiced surrendering to the will of God. Only when I was entrusted with, hey, he only wants to do my will, so I'm going to let him see some things from my perspective. You know, I'm going to bring him into another realm, a dimension of intimacy in which he's going to start to see things from our perspective, and then we're going to release him to roar or to bring that out of heaven. And so there's a lot there which has come out of developing these pathways of relationship, so that now, you know, I can just do that. You know, it's not something I have to try and do. And even actually, if it's by faith, I can step in. And a lot of the stuff I do is what I would call by faith. I can choose to engage my senses and see and feel whatever. But most of all, I want to get what God wants to reveal to me. So I step there and I begin to look into the ark and look into thing. And I would, in my own set, I would begin to sing to myself the Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, or just breathe Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, in and out and in. And that just opens up the flow of revelation that comes. So I discern, what is it that I'm seeing, feeling, sensing? You know, I don't need a full-blown trance anymore. Trances are really to get our attention and to blot out everything around us so that we can engage. I don't need a trance because I can just engage, because I practice engagement so much that I can choose to just step in. You know, when EM stepping in, stepping out, stepping in, stepping out exercises, those are really good exercises. You know, you step in, and what does it feel like when you step in? Well, the more you step in, the more you sense what it feels like. Even if you're not seeing anything, just keep stepping in until you open up the pathway and you begin to sense and feel and experience what it is in reality. So literally, my spirit is stepping into that realm. That's what's going on. But because my spirit and soul now are so connected in the right way, because they were separated and now they've been reintegrated, then I pick up all the senses. My spirit communicates to my mind, to my emotions, to my reason, what is going on in heaven when my spirit is there. And so the flow is connected so that my soul is, well, it might as well just be there as in the sense. I don't believe my soul is there, but I believe my spirit is there, and my soul is sensing what my spirit is releasing out of that spiritual realm into this realm, so I'm connected to it. Because, you know, as I've said before, everything happens in your head. You know, it may be, it is a dimensional place in the realm of the spirit, but the communication of it takes place within my head. Whether it's a vision, you know, even if I was to be physically translated there, I'm still in my head seeing, feeling, smelling, tasting, touching, everything that I would engage. It still is actually all outworked within the function of communication in my brain, and that's how it works, you know. So, you know, I've got over trying to make it work in a particular way, and I just go with it. And the evidence is the flow of the revelation that I received, you know, on a daily basis. And sometimes, you know, I just hang out there and God starts to share some stuff with me and I just write it down. You know, sometimes it will be a scripture and it's like, wow, okay, what's that opening up? A lot of the times it's just direct. He says something to me and I respond, you know. Now, you know, I could have the most wonderful, full-blown vision of that, or I can just have the thoughts of God coming into my mind and expressing that, and it's totally irrelevant to me which way it functions, because at the end of the day, I just want to know what it is that God wants me to do. You know, and if that means, okay, I want you to go into this courtroom and I want you to deal with this situation, then I'll go into that courtroom and I will go through the same process again. I'm standing here by faith. I can choose to close my eyes and look to engage, or I can just, okay, what accusations are there? I'm dealing with this. It's, I just do it. You know, but I do it because I'm directed, I'm yoked to Jesus, I'm directed by a flow of being one spirit with him that just directs me into where to go, what to do, and I do it. You know, now, you know, as I said earlier, you know, I'm called to learn the protocols and to engage this in my own life, but you know, I'm not given permission to do one thing all the time, because I'm supposed to go and learn new things, because that's part of who I am, and so I learn to do that. Some people may well function on, they know what they're called to do in destiny-wise, and therefore they're very, I'm on this throne, I do this, I can engage this court to enable me to do this, but I know what I'm doing. My destiny is to be a resource for other people, so I have to go and get more and more resource to be able to give it away. So everyone has to find really what it is that works according to their destiny to outwork it. So, yeah.
So that's kind of reminding me of Enoch, you know, going in, coming out, like you said.
Yeah.
And that's, I know that's what the Lord wants to bring the church. Have you ever, like when you say, Lord, what do you have for me today? Is it always heavenly engagement, or does he ever give you things to work out in the flesh of the, you know what I mean, like in the ministry?
Sure, oh yeah. Well, mostly it's here, because I live here, if you see what I mean. You know, I live in this realm. You know, I can go into the realms of heaven and I can engage in certain activity there first, because that's where I've got to do it first. So I don't do anything here unless I've engaged it there first. But, you know, I will be looking to see if the rulership in heaven establishes the authority to manifest on earth, and therefore I need to see a flow of that life come through spirit, soul, and body to create an atmosphere of the kingdom around me. Now, that has to have a practical outworking. Otherwise, I could spend all my time in heaven and not do anything here. You know, I still have to do things, and I want that to come out of the authority that's been released out of heaven. So, you know, if I was to, okay, I need to prepare a message to share with the church on Sunday or something, I would be establishing that in heaven. What is it God wants me to bring, deliver? I will be looking to declare that, to see an open heaven, to declare that for my mountain. You know, if it's an apostolic message, then I would be looking to bring it from an apostolic authority. If it's a prophetic message from a prophetic perspective, I would use the different mountains that I have to establish that in the heavens. Then, unfortunately, I've got to come here and I've got to sit down and I've got to write it. I've got to produce a PowerPoint. I have to bring the revelation and put it onto a thing so I know what to say. No, I could just get up on a Sunday and basically just open my mouth and hope something came out. But I'm prophet, teacher, teacher, prophet, redemptive gift. So I want to be able to help other people. So I want to have it in a format that hopefully people might be able to understand. So I work it out here on Earth, you know, and both of them have to work together. You know, yes, there is a function of developing the pathways in heaven and engaging there, but I still have to be able to teach people how to do it. So I still have to find a way of communicating that in a way that people could understand and follow. So for me, everything really needs to be outworked. You know, at the moment, I'm not manifesting loads and loads of miracles or signs and wonders or loads and loads of healings and things like that, which I've done in the past, because I'm not in that season. You know, other people are, but for me, that's not the season that I'm functioning in right now. It will need to be in some stage in the future when we need to deal with things that are going to happen physically, but right now we're in a preparation stage so that when we are faced with the things on Earth, we will be able to administer heaven on Earth in its fullness. And so I'm not concerned about that, because I really feel at peace, because in my own destiny I know and have seen some of the things I will be doing. I know how to do those things from an actual physical understanding of the how the realms of the spirit and the realms of the of Earth, how they engage. But I'm not really focused on doing them right now, because most of my focus is developing intimacy and developing rulership. So I'm comfortable with that, you know. So yeah, well, that's it. It definitely does have an earthly outworking.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty much all I have for today, as far as questions go.
Okay, that's no problem.
Okay.